Last week, I introduced the subject of worry. And we talked about what worry was. We found out that worry means care, anxiety, to be anxious about something, to be full of care, not careful, full of care, to take unnecessary thought about, to be distracted by, and to do that which is above and beyond the normal. Now, as I said a moment ago as I was introducing prayer, it is certainly normal for a parent to be concerned about the health of their child. But now, if you're worried about that, that means that your concern is above and beyond that which is normal. And you are wondering constantly, is my child going to get hurt here? Are they going to get hurt there? Will they live long life? Will they die young? Now, that's unnecessary. But to be cautious and to have concern, that's normal. And so we're trying to show that there's a difference between worry and anxiousness and that which is normal concern for the affairs of our life and our family and so forth. We also noted that worry is that which is above and beyond, and it affects our lives, it affects our health, it affects our attitude, it affects our relationships. And that's a real important thing. And I quoted to you Dr. J. Adams, who is a great biblical psychologist and counselor. He's written many, many books. He's taught many, many classes through the years. I attended one of his classes back in 1980. And I remember him saying this, concern about something that we can do nothing about. That's what worry is. Fretting and stewing over something that we have absolutely no control of. And as I pointed out, my aunt, who we used to say to Aunt Aileen, you're always crossing bridges that you never come to. And we all know people like that. And you may be a person like that. And so we reminded you last week that tomorrow belongs to God. And I quoted from Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 and 34. And those verses say this, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Now, I asked the question, what's for lunch? Or what's for breakfast? Or what's for supper? Is it because I'm worrying that we're not going to have any? No. Is it because the cupboards are bare? Not in our house. How many of you have bare cupboards in your kitchen? That's what I thought. How many of you have empty refrigerators in your kitchen? That's what I thought. So it's not a question of, is there going to be food to eat? It's the question is, there's such a variety of which one are we going to use today, right? Isn't that a great problem? Do you thank God for that problem? Certainly you better thank God for that problem. You've seen pictures on TV of empty shelves in grocery stores. Not around here. Not around here. Every grocery store I go into, and I go into all of them, I've never seen empty shelves. Whether it's Maine's or whether it's Weiss's or whether it's Price Chopper, their shelves are full, waiting for you to empty something out of yours so you can take it off theirs, right? So do we need to worry about those things? Not in our country, at least not right now. And closets. Y'all have lots of empty closet space? Not in my house. We keep saying we got to sort through this stuff, get rid of some. Mostly because we've outgrown it, amen? Not because we wore it out. You know, God has provided for us above and beyond, hasn't he? And we are so rich in our country that the world looks at us and they think every American's a millionaire. Now, we all know better than that. We don't have any in this area, do we? Or at least in this church that I know of. But we are all provided for, praise God. And then sometimes we worry about what's going to happen, and we fret and we stew. And we finished last week's message, you remember, with a conversation with God that was well carried out by Adrian and Pam. If you didn't know who was speaking, I thought most of you recognized their voice. They did a great job of that conversation with God. So we come down today to this question, why do we worry? And there are several reasons up there as to why we may worry. We worry because we're in the habit of doing it. It is some people's habit. I'm not going to say it's your nature. I'm going to say it's your habit. I don't think you were born that way. I think you developed that over a period of time within your home. Maybe that's you developed it from a parent. Probably not both parents, probably one. And so you've kind of grown up and you develop the habit of being a fretter, a stewer, a worrier, an anxious person. And I can remember that even as a kid, seeing that in a couple of kids that I went through school with, all the way from kindergarten to graduation. There were just some kids that just had that from the time they were little, that fussy worry about everything. And we also worry because other people worry. And certainly we're reminded that everything is going to pot in our country by our news media and by our politicians and by the candidates. And how many of you listen to Dave Ramsey? How many of you know who Dave Ramsey is? One person, three people, five people. Wonderful. He's got a very optimistic outlook, and he's a Christian economist, and he teaches finance. And I get to listen to him every Friday afternoon for a few minutes before he goes off the air. He's not on a local station, but he's on an Elmira station, and we get that on the way back from the car auction on Friday. We listen to Dave Ramsey, and he highlights on Friday the people that have paid off debt and are able to shout, we're debt-free. And you know what? God is still doing that for Christians who put Him first in their lives. So why worry? Because we have a habit. Because other people around us worry. You know what God says over in Psalm 37? He says, fret not. Fret not. Now that's a good Old Testament word for worry. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass, and wither as the green herb. But trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently on Him. Do not fret or worry because of him who prospers in his way, or because of the man who brings wickedness to pass. So what is God saying to us? We are not to worry. We are not to fret. We're not to be anxious. Now, there's one more up there. Number C, or letter C, if you don't like C being a number. Letter C, number three. Why do people worry? Because we don't believe God. And you understand that I began the service this morning with some remarks that relate to that point, don't I? God is able. Come tonight, I will prove it to you from this book. And there'll be people who can speak to the fact that God is able in their lives. They have seen God work. They have proved God. There are people sitting in this room this morning that have been healed from cancer. Amen? I can think of three right now, real quick. One, two, three. Is there anybody on this side that I missed? Four, five, six. Cancer, that big, terrible C word that all of us have, I'll use the good word, concerns about. Why? Because it's become so prevalent. Amen? And the thing is that all of those that raise their hand probably are all different kinds of cancer. But God has healed them. How many years, Alta? 20. Barb? 8. Becky? 4. Sharon? 9. Emerson? 3. 3 for you? 13. Wow. That's awesome. So is God able? Amen. Amen. So why do we worry? Because we don't believe God. But remember what God said back there in Matthew. And last week, our scripture reading in Luke chapter 12 is almost verbatim what it is in Matthew 6. So I don't care which one you look at. But here's what it says again. Therefore, I say to you, verse 25 of Matthew 6, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. For is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Old King James, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Well, why not worry? We talked about why we do worry. Well, why not worry? Well, first of all, it's bad for you. It's bad for you. Look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. I am not quite sure what it says in Old King James, but I sure like the way it says it in New King James. I mean, it hits you right where you're at. Proverbs 12, verse 25. Anxiety in the heart causes depression. Boy, can you say it any clearer than that? Anxiety in the heart causes depression. So why not worry? Because it's harmful to you. It causes depression. But you know what else it causes? It can cause arthritic symptoms. Arthritic symptoms. It can cause abdominal distress. It can keep the acid flow above normal inside your system. It causes stress, which affects all of your body symptoms or systems. And so it's harmful for you. Look at Proverbs 14 and verse 30. Proverbs 14 and verse 30. A sound heart. Now, we're not talking about blood pumper here necessarily. We're talking here about the emotional part of us that the Bible often calls the heart. I love you with all my heart does not necessarily mean I love you with all my cardiac. Right? Cardia. That's a Greek word, New Testament. Many of our medical terms come from Greek language. Pharmacy comes from the word pharmakia, which means the compounding of drugs. That's in the Greek. That's the Old Testament. I mean, that's the New Testament. But look at verse 30 here. A sound heart, or I could put it this way, proper emotions. is life to the body, but envy. And what is envy? It's fretting about what other people have that you don't have, or you perceive that they have and you don't have. See, you see what they have for you to look at. You have no idea whether they are in debt up over their heads or not to have what you see and covet. You just remember that. The person you want to emulate is the person who can scream on the Friday radio broadcast of Dave Ramsey, "We're debt free!" That's the person you want to go talk to. That's the person you want to learn from. The people who are out of debt, who don't have big payments. They may not own, quote, quote, all that you wished you had, but they don't have all these big bills either. They don't have all of these credit card debts. I'm not even going to ask how many of you have credit card debt. It'd be scary to me and you too, right? But the point is, don't envy what other people have. You don't want their sickness either. You don't want their pain. You don't want their judgment. You don't want their debts. All right, and then look at that other one over in chapter 17 in verse 22. If you haven't already flipped there, it's on the screen, so you probably have. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So is attitude important? But a broken spirit dries up the bones. What's important about your bones? Why does God keep referring to the skeleton of the human being when he's talking about judgment? Because your bones are the blood-making factory of your body. Your bones is where your blood is made. And your blood is constantly dying. Blood cells have to be replaced constantly. And a healthy person has healthy bones producing healthy red blood cells that keeps you healthy. And God says that when you are emotionally upset, emotionally distressed, it affects your body's ability to provide good blood cells, and your blood cells are what carry the food and the oxygen to every cell of your body and your being. Now, if you haven't taken biology lately, go get yourself a simple little book on the human body and study it. And then apply it to all the things that you read in the Word of God, especially in the book of Proverbs. Fascinating, very fascinating. It's not only harmful to you, but it's harmful to your friendships. I think that's up there too, right? Yeah, it's harmful to your friendships. People don't enjoy being around someone that's always worrying and fussing and fuming and agitated. We just avoid those people when we can. I mean, we like to be around people that are happy and peaceful, amen? Question is, are we happy and peaceful for them to want to be around us? Or are we the agitators? Are we the worriers? Are we the people that are always complaining about everything? And then, number three, why not worry? Because it hurts our Heavenly Father. You say, how does it hurt God? Well, let me give you a couple of suggestions from Scripture. Matthew 14. Jesus sends the boys out on the boat. He says, I'm going up into the hill to pray for a little while. You guys go out in the boat. I think that's the story I want you to see, Matthew 14. He made his disciples get into the boat, verse 22, and go before him to the other side. That would be anywhere from a 7 to 8 mile trip across the Sea of Galilee to home port. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, when it's contrary to the direction you want to go in a sailboat, there's only one other option. It's called what? Row, row, row your boat. We're not talking about a little fishing boat. We're talking about a big boat. The average of those were somewhere around 25 to 30 feet long. They were much wider than what you would imagine for a boat. They were deeper, and they had not one set of oars on each side, but probably three or four on each side. And they could be operated by as many men as there were oars. And they were rowing, and they were rowing, and they were getting nowhere. Now, it was the fourth watch of the night. So it's the middle of the night. Jesus went to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Nice word for saying they were scared. They were troubled, saying, "Is it a ghost?" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if that is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he, Jesus, said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, and by the way, it had been now for hours, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when Jesus got into the boat, I know it says they, I can read, but I want to focus on the one that changed everything. It wasn't Peter getting in the boat. It was Jesus getting in the boat that what? Caused the wind to cease. And when you got troubles and trials and you're all fidgeting and you're all frustrated and you're worrying and you're carrying on, let me tell you, it's because you don't have Jesus in your boat with you. Because when Jesus gets into the boat, what happens? The wind stops. And if you read this in another passage, if you read this over in Mark or John, you will find out not only did the wind stop, but the waves stopped immediately. And some of you remember hearing me say this. I've said it many times. That is not normal. You could stop the wind, but the waves keep going for quite a period of time. Why? Because momentum dies slowly. But Jesus not only stopped the wind, but he leveled out the water surface. Are you all troubled? You all frustrated? You all scared? Is Jesus in your boat with you? Remember another time Jesus was in the boat, but he was sleeping. And the waves were boisterous. And they woke Jesus up and they said, "Master, don't you care that we're going to drown?" And Jesus says, "Oh, peace be still." Again, the wind stopped, the wave stopped. And immediately the boat was where they wanted to go. Boom, just like that. That was a fast boat ride. That was the days before motors. And the Bible says, and immediately the boat was at the shore. You know, God can calm things quickly if you and I will let Him. Amen? How not to worry? I changed the background. I want you to see there's hope. I had a dark gray background for a purpose. Now I've brightened it up a little bit with a different color. Why? I know what time it is. But I'm going to finish today. Number one, recognize tomorrow for what it is. What is it? Tomorrow. It hasn't got here yet. That's key number one. Recognize tomorrow for what it is. It's tomorrow. And tomorrow everything can be entirely different than today. Amen? Either in a good way or a bad way. If you're a worrier, then it's going to be a bad day tomorrow, right? But if you're an optimist, tomorrow's going to be great. We're going to do this and this and this. Well, be careful. Be careful, because the next one, plan as a Christian. You know what James says? Don't say, tomorrow we're going to go into the city and we're going to start this business and we're going to do this and we're going to do this and this. But rather say, if the Lord wills, we're going to go into the city and we're going to start a business and we're going to do this and this. You see the difference? Plan as a Christian. The Christian says what? Not my will, but yours be done. Amen? And we learned that from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. And so tomorrow is tomorrow. And look forward to tomorrow as it fits into God's will. So you submit it to the Lord. And then you focus your concern on today. Remember our verse back in Matthew 6. Sufficient unto the day is the problems, the evil, the trials, the tribulations, the heartaches thereof. God only gives us what we can handle today, today. And are we to do it by ourselves? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tested above that you are able, but will with that testing, trouble, trial, tribulation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it with his help. And I add that last part because that's implied in what he says. So focus your concern on today. Work on today's task. You see, if you work on today's task, then you won't be procrastinating. Now, I'm a procrastinator. I know that. And I've got a wife that's a prodder. And between the two of us, things get done. Most things. There's still a new toilet sitting in the box in the garage that's supposed to be installed that's never got installed. I'm a procrastinator. Why? Just didn't get around to it yet, but there it is. But you know what happens when we procrastinate? And I tell you this from personal experience. It builds up pressure. Because now I got yesterday's work to do, because I didn't get it done yesterday, to add to today's work. Or I got last week's work to do that I didn't get done. Now it's added to this week's work. You understand what goes on? So if we procrastinate, we build pressure and stress. But if we do our work when it needs to be done on time, and we do today's work today and don't put it off till tomorrow, because that's procrastination, then guess what? We don't allow our problems to mount up. You say there's one more. Now the color changes again, doesn't it? Why did I change the color again? I want you to see a brightness. I want you to see a sunrise. Now, how do we defeat worry? We read it this morning in our Philippian passage. We pray with thanksgiving. We find God's solution to our problem. We work it out God's way. And then there's one more that I don't have up there, and I thought about this morning and before church. Remember God's promises. And what are God's promises? Philippians 4:13. What is it? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs. What's the word I'm emphasizing in both those verses? All. All. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. How rich is God? He owns the universe. and everything in it. And you fly over this country in an airplane. And many of us have, at least parts of it. And you look down and you see those cities and you see all of those factories. And you say, my, what a wonderful country we live in. And then you say, God, thank you. It all belongs to you. And the mountains and the rivers and the valleys and the lakes. It all belongs to Him. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much, Lord, that you have provided for us everything that we need. Literally everything. Including health and breath and mind and eyesight and hearing and smelling and tasting and touching and feeling and clothing and food and jobs and homes and cars and family and employees and friends and neighbors and freedoms. And God, probably the list could go on and on and on. Thank you in Jesus' name. Bless your people. Give us all a great week as we think about you and we stop our worrying and our fretting and we let you show us the way. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.